Thank you for this opportunity to stand before you tonight. Just ask that you pray with me as I bring the word. Ask that you would continue to keep me in prayer as I stand here. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach. You're supposed to pray for me as I preach so I can give you what God has for us. And y'all do y'all's part. I'll try to do my part and we'll get her done. That's how we're going to do this. I want y'all to remember me and Ginger in prayer. It's kind of hard to live as far away as we do, and I don't feel like I'm always as active in church as I need to be, and I feel like sometimes, you know, that God is putting me in another direction. And I just want to follow Him. You know, I don't want to leave this church. This is where my family is, and this is where I grew up. And you know, I have a special affinity for this church. And there ain't no other church like Mount Hebron to me. Well, I go to other churches and stuff and visit around. But, you know, this people are just prettier here, you know. I mean, I look out here, we've got all kinds of pretty people here. And some of them other churches, they got some ugly people in them, you know. All of us, we're all pretty. And it's just hard to leave something like that, you know. But I just want you to remember that. And I want you to remember Daniel, my son. He's going through his teenage years, and life is not easy. There's a lot of things in this world that'll bring a man down. Today's my anniversary, so I brought my wife to church. That was her going out. She said she'd rather come to church than any place else anyway. So, you know, that's good, ain't it? Come to God's house together. We don't always get to come together. Circumstances in life stop that a lot of times. But I always enjoy her company. I like to aggravate her, so that's always a plus for me. Now, I've got about three books here full of notes, and I tried to narrow it down to one book, so we're just going to go over one book tonight. We'll be out here by about 12, I reckon, if I go ahead and get started. I tell you, I'm kind of excited and nervous and tore up, and I don't know why, but, you know, to me, it's just an awesome thing to be able to go to the Lord and know that you got help there. And the help that you have is more than anything you could ever imagine in this world. And, you know, it's just so awesome to be able to approach God in that way. And that boy the other night, Joseph, He preached the model prayer, and that's where we want to go tonight. I'm not trying to copy his sermon, and I'm not trying to rehash it, and I'm not trying to say that he didn't do it like it should be done. I'm just going to preach what the Lord laid on my heart, and we're going to try to get through it. Like I said, I'm not trying to redo him. I would like to reread to you the points that he had. I thought he had a really good sermon, and I thought he'd done quite well. I was really pleased with it and really stuck in my mind. And I know that Rodney has preached this sermon before, or off of this same text verses, and I thought he'd done a really good job with it. And I've preached it before, and I never thought I'd done a very good job with it. So, you know, I've heard it two or three times by some novice preachers, and I thought mine has always been the worst, so hopefully I'll do better tonight, and we'll all get something out of it, but it's something we're all going to be needing. We want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through verse 13. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Now that boy, he said he had 7 points. And, you know, 7 points is a lot, seems like, sometimes to preach. But I'd say that a man could write a book just from that one, the model prayer there. The first point that boy had was the person of God. We have to know the person of God. And that's in that prayer right there. The purpose of God. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The provision of God. The forgiveness that God has for us. The pardon of God. The purity of God. The protection of God. And the power of God. All of those things are included in that, in just those few verses of prayer there. It don't seem very long when you read it or you say it, but it's amazing how much you can get out of just a little bit of God's word, ain't it? You know, just a little bit of God's word is so engulfing. We sing that song, the first song that John opened with, Jesus Never Fails. I don't remember us singing that song a lot. It's funny how that when we need prayer, Jesus never fails. You know, this is a time when that we need to be conscious of our prayer life. I think we're living in days right now when prayer is very important. It's very important. It's very overlooked, but it's very important. Christian people have to band together in prayer, and God hears those prayers, and we don't take advantage of that like we should. Look in Peter. 1 Peter 5:7. I just want to read that one verse in Peter. If you don't want to turn there, I'll tell you what it says. But 1 Peter 5:7. Tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is, he cares about our needs. He's not just left us down here and forgot about us. He cares about us. And he desires to be a help to us. God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to commune with him. You know, that's why God created mankind to start with. Was that we would be able to have fellowship with him. That was the purpose of making man. Was for fellowship with God. That's what we were created for, you know. When we avoid our prayer life, we're kind of avoiding who we really are. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. I've got a few scriptures, and I don't really have very much of an outline, and I don't really have anything really put together very well, so it might be kind of it's kind of like eating soup tonight. You know, you might get some meat, or you might get a tater, or you might get some green beans or some corn. Or something like that, you know, every bite might be a little bit different. But it's all God's Word, and it all fits together. And I don't have it laid out in a perfect little... Sometimes you can do that, and sometimes you can't. And I really didn't have time enough to do all of that. But in Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know, we can come boldly to God, and that's not bold within ourselves, but that's with confidence that He is able to provide our need. We can come with that confidence that we have victory through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that happen to a person in this world, and a lot of it's bad. You know, as you live your life, you're going to go through some things that's going to be hurtful and really bring you down. But if you know Jesus Christ, you've got victory over that. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're just getting beat up. And that's all there is to it. You know, sometimes you see Christians walk around like they're about ready to cry. What are you crying about? What are you crying about? You ain't got nothing to cry about. You know, stand up. Live in the joy that God has given you. Be thankful for the things that you have. You know, a lot of times we lose our joy because we're not thankful. We don't talk to God when we're in circumstances that we don't want to be in. You know, Joseph, he was in some hard circumstances, and he thought, I'm sure that Joseph prayed every day. I'm sure he did. And he was in circumstances that he didn't like, but God showed him that those circumstances were for the best, and God will show us victory in our lives. Let's look in 1 John while we're over here this close. We'll look in 1 John. Five, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You know, a lot of times we ask things that God knows we don't need. You know, I can think back in my own life when I asked for some things that I wanted, and God knew I didn't need them. And I kept asking, and He kept saying no. And I'm glad He did, because I just hung on to my faith, and God revealed the blessings that He had for me in certain areas. I believe I'm not the only person that is a witness to that in here. I think the other people have had those same things happen in their own lives. If you're of any age, and most of us in here are, we've lived enough to know that we go through ups and downs in life, but we hang on to God all the way through. We've got Jesus Christ with us through the down times. You hang on to Him, then you see His blessings. You know, and it makes going through the valleys worthwhile. You know, without the Spirit of God, lost people, they don't have what we have. It don't do them any good. They can pray, but their prayers don't get anywhere because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Their spirit is not witnessed with the Spirit of God. The only prayer that a lost person can pray that God hears is a prayer of salvation. And I believe that if any lost person prays and asks God to reveal salvation to them, that He'll not turn His back on them. I believe that they'll seek Him. They'll find Him. And I believe that the Bible teaches it. Let's look in John chapter 14. I'm going kind of slow, but I want to try to do it right. I want to get in high gear, Rodney. I do. I feel like I'm sitting on the seat of a motorcycle and I just want to pull the trigger. I just want to go, you know, but I can't. I could almost be Pentecostal. But I know y'all probably can't see that, but I'm just tore up inside. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. What about that? That's why the world, their prayers don't do any good. It's because they don't have the Spirit of God with them. I want to look in Romans while we're close here. We'll look in Romans chapter 8, verses 13 through 15. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. You know, we're not given a spirit of fear. This world that we live in right now, there's a lot of fear in it. I don't know about y'all, but you look in on the news each and every day, you can see prophecies being fulfilled. And you can just feel fear in the air. You know, people are just concerned about things. Everybody's concerned about the economy. They're concerned about war. They're concerned about the Muslims. They're concerned about ISIS. Terrorism of all kinds. All kinds of evil and stuff that people are just fearful of. But we don't have to fear. You know, I think a lot of times that there's so many bad things going on in this world, so we won't be so attached to it. I live in the most beautiful place in the country, McKinney, Kentucky. It's pretty down there. Flatland, rolling hills, tall mountains. Trees, green grass, lots of water, big fat cows walking around on the farm. It's pretty down there. I could get real attached. I could get real attached. I don't want to leave it. I like it. But you know, God has a better place than that. There's a better place than that. There's a better place than Mount Hebron Road. There's a better place than Garrett County. There's a better place than in your living room sitting on your favorite chair. God has a better place for us. And we need not to get too attached to what we have here. So many times it's easy just to get attached to what we have here. We want to stay and enjoy the things that we have here. It's hard to believe that God has something better. But trials in our life will help us to see that we need to be looking for something better. He has something better for us. You know, a lot of times we want to be like, let's make a deal. You ever been on, you remember seeing Monty Hall on that TV show, Let's Make a Deal? It used to be back in the probably back in the 60s or 70s, I don't know, when I was a kid. There was a guy named Monty Hall, and he had a TV show, and it was called Let's Make a Deal, you know. And a lot of times we think we want something besides what God's will is in our life. You want to take what's behind door number three, or do you want to seek God's will? The model prayer there says, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's no greater place than heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That rocks. That'll get you going right there. But we want to play Let's Make a Deal. We want to choose what's behind door number three. And we don't know what that is either. We think that'll make us happy. There's no sure things in our life. We think we have control, but we don't. You never know what a day's going to bring. You know, God's kingdom is coming. Do we pray that His kingdom will come? Like I said, the world is getting to be fuller and fuller of trouble. I think Christians are going to begin more and more to pray for God's kingdom to come. I have to admit, I've not always prayed that. I don't always ask for God's kingdom to come. Sometimes I get pretty complacent and like the things that are just going on already, you know. I've got a few more of these things I want to do. We all do. I've read books about the prayer of Jabez and heard sermons about the prayer of Jabez, and that's pretty much just a one-liner, you know. I don't think I could preach a sermon just about a one-liner, but there's so much in this model prayer, a man could stand here half the night. You know, a lot of these guys, they want to preach this believe and receive stuff. I see that on TV. Doubt and do without. Believe and receive. You know. That's pretty good stuff. I like to watch nature programs and stuff on TV a lot. I watched this show one time. These three African hunters, one of them was an elderly man, and they just had spears, and that was pretty much it. They may have had a bow or a stick or something. Pretty much they just had a spear. And they was out hunting for something to eat for their village. And they'd hunted most of the day, and they hadn't found anything. And this pride of lions must have been probably 14 or 15 lions in this pride. Killed this wildebeest. And these guys, they seen it happen. And the lions was sitting there on their kill, and they was eating it and stuff. And that older guy said, let's go down there and take part of that. Yeah. Them other two said, I don't know about that. He said, you don't show no fear. You come with me. And you look them lions right dead in the eye. And you don't stop. You walk right on. They walked right up there into that where that pride of lions was. And that first old lion, she looked at them. She hopped up and she run off. The next one hopped up and run off. The next one hopped up and run off. They went over and they cut a big piece of meat off that lion, off that wildebeest. Turned around, walked off, and they laughed all the way home. We have that kind of victory in this life. And a lot of times we're just too afraid to walk up and take it. But that we have the kind of power that overcomes lions. You know, I think that's a great story, but it's also a great example of what people that are not afraid of what's going to happen and know that they already have victory. David stood before a giant knowing that he already had victory. Now listen, David's faith wasn't any greater than yours. He picked up 5 stones. That's what my Bible says. He had 5 stones. If he knew he was going to do it with one, he just took one. He was not any stronger in faith than we are. He didn't serve a different God than we do. A lot of times, I've heard people say, you know, this person or that person, they use God as a crutch. He's my crutch. And I'm glad He is. He's what I lean on. If you're going through life with any other set of directions, you're going down the wrong way. God is our crutch. He is our help. He's a strong and powerful hand in a time of need. Folks, as a church and as a community and as a country and as families right now, we need God. And we need to be praying to Him and asking Him. One of my favorite prayers in the whole Bible is found in 2 Kings, verse 19. We're getting ready to close. And I know I've preached this before or taught it in Sunday school, but to me, this is just it's such a good story. It's a true account of God's delivering His people. And God ain't left us behind. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, I would encourage you to go home and read the accounts of chapter 19. You may like it as well as I do, but I really do like it. But we're just going to read the part where Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah was the king of Israel at this time, and they were under siege by the Assyrians and facing almost certain death. All hope was gone. All worldly hope was gone. They didn't have any hope in anything in this world. Sometimes as an individual, a person will get to a point in their life where there is no hope in a worldly sense. And when we get to that, we find out that God is all that we need. Because that's when we can really be delivered. Paul said when he was weak was when he was strong. In verse 15 it says, "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast down their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only." Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." God hears his people. Folks, I don't know what you're facing in this life today. everything might be going great. Might be just smooth sailing for you right now. If it is, it'll probably change as long as you live in this world. For me, it's not all that smooth. But I'm glad I got the Lord on my side. And I'm thankful for all that He does for me. And I just want to tell you that if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're without hope. And if you want that hope, you have to come to the knowledge and understanding that you're a sinner, that your sins are against Jesus Christ, that He loved you enough while you were a sinner, that He sent His Son to die in your place because He loved you. He knew that you was without hope. He knew it before you did. But He gave you that hope because He loved you. And if you will accept that love, you can be saved today. It's that simple and that easy. All you got to do is stop trying to be a good person and get in there yourself and leave it up to Jesus Christ and accept the fact that He died for you and rose again the third day. And that's it. I want to ask our song leader to come and